my annual tasks when at Aberlour was to say a blessing as part of the official opening of the fishing season on the River Spey. This event takes place every year at 9 o'clock in the morning on the 11th of February, unless the 11th happens to be a Sunday, in which case it happens on the 12th. There's no fishing allowed on the Spey on a Sunday. The opening of the Spey is a great community event, and in recent years it's become even more so. It's grown. The whisky and shortbread on offer to those that gather is no doubt a wee incentive. But it is an important event for all the fishing beat owners, the managers and the gillies. They turn up resplendent in their tweeds and mix happily with locals and visitors. There's a sense of anticipation and excitement as many eager fishermen and women keen to get onto the water to cast their first lines, hoping that it might be a tight one. After a few speeches, the ceremonial pouring of a whole bottle of malt whisky into the Spey off the Penny Bridge, I know that has caused many tears. It is then the job of the local minister to pray a blessing for the season ahead. And I always liked to say a few words leading into the prayer. Some years I kept it light-hearted and told a few jokes. And one of my favourites is this one about the priest, the minister and the rabbi who go fishing together one day. After a while they were fishing, the priest said he'd forgotten something, so he climbed out of the boat and walked on the water to get what he needed and came back. Another couple of hours later, the minister said he'd forgotten something and did exactly the same. He got out of the water and apparently walked across the water and then came back. And then the rabbi said he'd forgotten something, so he climbed out of the boat and promptly fell into the water. Then the priest asked the minister, "Do you think we should have told him about the stepping stones?" There is always a lot of chat at the opening about what kind of season it is going to be, whether the number of salmon caught will be more or less than the year before. And recently there have been some quite low catches. What I didn't ever tell those gathered there was the wee prayer that I said after I blessed the water for the fish. So whether the low catches were ever my fault, I'm going to leave that for you to ponder. There was one year when I no sooner finished my blessing and the fishers had taken to the riverside that a shout went up that someone had a tight line. And so it was that literally seconds after I'd finished, a salmon was landed. Sadly for the fisher, it was a grilse, a young salmon on its first return from the sea to the river, and so it had to be returned to the river. And what galled with me was he'd caught it on the part of the river that was part of the church glebe. That same day, my brother had fished as my guest using one of the permits I had for the river because of the glebe water, and he caught a massive 13 salmon that day, all grills, so they all had to go back. But it was a bumper day for landing fish, despite my silent prayers. It was a bumper morning's fishing in our gospel reading, 153 to be exact. A few more than my brother's haul. This morning's gospel reading tells the story of Jesus appearing to the seven disciples who'd found their way to the seashore. It is one of 11 post-resurrection appearances Jesus makes across all four gospels. They make their way to Galilee, where in the gospels of Matthew and Mark, the angels at the entrance to the empty tomb tell the women Jesus will meet with the disciples. There's something quite moving about the stories of the supposedly strong and alpha-type people of this world who perhaps work in heavy industry, serve in the military or emergency services, and who in a time of challenge reveal an inner fragility, learning to manage whatever experience they are collectively going through by coming together as a unit and supporting each other emotionally as well as physically. Such camaraderie in the serving units of the military were well covered in the season of remembrance at the end of last year, as the century of the ending of the First World War was recalled. The popular television series some years ago, Band of Brothers, based on the book of the same name, dramatised the stories of Easy Company a serving unit of the American Army in the Second World War, and it achieved success in portraying the strength of relationships between a group of people that helped them get through that traumatic experience. Relationships built on the recognition of shared experience and emotion, trust between parties, and the extension of collective care is the key to the creation of a spirit of togetherness. And this story of the disciples following on from the loss of their friend and leader is one where these brothers return to the familiarity of their day jobs after a period of chaos and experiences of trauma. In the familiarity of their work and in the companionship of each other, they seek to find strength. And in their grief, they decide that staying together and coping collectively with their personal sense of loss is the best way. And one has to assume that the women were doing the same, though it's not recorded here in John's Gospel for us. These grieving people return to the familiar, and yet in the knowledge that everything is different now, their lives are changed forever. This group of people brought together by Jesus, his companions for the 3 short years of his ministry, are bound together by their shared experience and by the love that has developed out of that. And we're not just talking about things like strength, support, comfort, peace, important as these things are. We're talking about something much more profound. It is in the sharing the highs and lows of life in community that we unlock the sense of the spiritual, a holy connection. Friendship, companionship, shared love generates a spirit that can be captured individually and collectively, and when harnessed, provides great potential to cope with adversity and challenge and to see beyond that to something deeper and more important. For many people, such an experience is a holy moment. For the disciples, resuming their work after the trauma of their loss, this was the moment when the holy was made known to them within the richness of companionship and togetherness created within their own wee band. This is a communion story, not just in the image of breaking bread, but in the effect of staying and being together and finding in the collective relationship a sense of God's presence. As we say when celebrating the sacrament of communion, when we gather together and allow the Spirit to create a bond between us, we are drawn to the sense of Jesus being present and feeding us with his gifts of love. In community, we meet with Jesus, the presence of the Lord. This story that we heard is an important story within the context of the Christian community after the resurrection, reminding us of the availability of God and Jesus to all the peoples of the world. Amongst other places, God is found in the closeness of our relationship with others, and particularly in our worshiping communities of faith as we grow in relationship with each other. Our gospel reading today is full of details, the names of those present, the setting, the timing, the numerical total of fish caught, 153, shows that the storyteller is at great pains to give both authenticity and meaning to the story. This is an important story. Why 153? Well, I'm going to come back to that shortly. And into the scene on the seashore steps Jesus. It's daybreak and the sun is rising. A dejected Peter has announced that they're going fishing, the others have followed him and they've set off in the boat, but their fishing trip is not successful. So they return to the shore even more dejected. And standing there is Jesus, except they don't immediately recognize him. It's dawn, the light is still dim. And the last person they expect to meet is Jesus. But Jesus points out the obvious. You didn't catch anything, did you? Nope, they replied. How about trying the other side of the boat? And they do this, and a whopping catch ensues. And it's in this moment of abundance that they recognize who their advisor is. Out of the darkness of the night into the new light of day, Jesus has appeared for the third time after his death and resurrection. theologian Caroline Lewis suggests this is an important scene, Jesus the light coming and offering abundance. Abundance, an echo here to one of the earlier stories about Jesus and his disciples in John's Gospel, the abundance of wine at the wedding in Cana. And there's more echoes that happen in this story, the sharing of food, the eating of bread and fish, echoing back to a hillside, and another story of abundance, abundance out of nothing even. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection is a story of abundance, the abundant love of God. Love has been our theme throughout Lent and Easter, the different kinds of love that we experience, the neighbourliness of philia, the eroticism of eros, familial storge, and the self-giving love agape. Easter was about love winning in abundance, God's love for the world winning in abundance. And in abundance that is universal, on offer to all. The 153 are an illustration of this. Why was this number so important? Well, there have been many ingenious suggestions. Theologian Cyril of Alexandria came up with the idea that 100 was the number of fullness. 100 sheep went out, one went missing. Jesus wants to go looking for the missing one. 50, he suggested, was the remnant of Israel, and 3 was the Trinity. St. Augustine came up with another solution. He claimed that 10 is the number of the law, the 10 commandments. 7 is the number of grace, the 7 gifts of the Spirit. Add 7 and 10, and you get 17. Add the numbers 1 through to 17 together, and you get 153. And so he surmises that 153 stands for all those, either by law or grace, who have come to faith in Jesus. Jerome suggests a much simpler explanation, that there were 153 species of fish, and that the number symbolizes that someday people of all nations will come to faith in Jesus. A much more mundane suggestion is that the fish were counted simply because that's what people did when they were sharing a catch. And because this was a large catch, the number was recorded. Whatever the explanation, they all share the idea of abundance, the abundance of God's love demonstrated in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Love poured out for you and for me and for all. Amen.